Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Good day. Time is 7 after the hour. I'm Doug Steffen with Rich McFadden, Jennifer Warren, Molly Page, Ken Kessler. Well, that's good, huh? I like the way that ends on the up the high end.
Sounded like Oprah.
Ken Kessler!
A new car!
Oprah! What a new car.
Awesome.
So there are people who are interested in life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Isn't that really what we all want? Doesn't make a difference whether you're older or younger, whether you're rich or poor, whether you are a man or a woman. You want to be happy. And that requires that you understand what's going on in your life. I'm going to introduce you to somebody in a few minutes who has started something called a school for men. I'm wondering if the women here will want to know if there's a school for women. When you find out what it's about, then you can ask the question. All right, ladies. So we'll do, I guess part of me and where I am and what I think about in my life, you hear me. I don't hide much from the audience. I think that's part of being authentic, is the people who listen to me every day and listen to us every day and have for years. They pretty much know who I am. And so when this survey came out about American workers, 82% of whom say they expect to keep working well past the age of 65 or maybe not retire at all, I thought of me and the other people who are like me. Well, then I found out there aren't a lot of people like me. That's good or bad. I don't ever expect to retire. I don't think that there's any value to it. That's just my way of looking at it. So I wasn't surprised to see this across all ages. This survey went from the millennials to the people who are baby boomers. Many workers are concerned they'll be unable to save enough to last, so they figure they have to keep producing, keep working, because they'll outlive their investments, outlive their savings. That's the top concern for 44% of the respondents to this survey. One-third of all workers believe their standard of living will diminish once they stop working, and they don't want to have that happen, so they don't want to stop working. I understand that completely. That's not the reason for me. Well, it might be to a point, but I don't work to make money. And I'm just kind of realizing it now, and I'm going to talk to Mike Rostowski, who is the fellow who runs the School for Men, in a minute about that. But in general, this survey suggests something that pretty much all of us know. We have parents, or maybe you're there at that age. But I don't think my reason for wanting to keep going is because I really feel like I'm effective. I feel like I want to do this. It's not that I need to, but maybe I do need to. Maybe more for me than for you. But the survey is very, very telling, I thought. And Brother Richie, you think about it this way. I guess Jennifer, you're the youngest person here. You see your father working. He's my age. We are colleagues and friends, and I wouldn't expect him to stop.
No, you will not stop.
No, I don't. And I don't think he. I think
he would like to. He says he thinks he'd like to stop and just do. Well, he'd like to go on an abbreviated schedule and continue hosting the show that he hosts and travel around a little.
Yeah, I think that's what we all want to do.
Well, I'm going to do that. Sure. I will do that later this year. I'm going to start doing more of that. But there still is this the residual feeling you get from accomplishing stuff. But that's just me and my personality. Richie, you get to that age, what are you going to feel?
I will feel the need to still do something, always.
Yeah.
But like Jennifer's dad, on an abbreviated schedule, I might want to take 2 months a year off. Mm. I may only want to work, 4 or 5 hours a day, 3 hours a day.
Kind of like what you do now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
You just cut it down a couple hours.
Yeah.
So not a whole lot different than what I do. My wife owns a condo on the beach in Colombia. I'd like to go spend 3 months there in the winter. and just do stuff like that. So, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. The thing that I hate to see, you know, my mom is actually retiring this year. She keeps, when I call her every morning and she goes, 23 days left, 22 days left. No, it's because, you know, she's doing it at an age where she's still young enough to have a new chapter in her life. So what I hate to see is people that work, and that's all they do. Their whole life is just about working. And then the minute they quit, they die or they just melt away or wither away. It excites me when someone like my mom, who was a teacher for 30 years, says, okay, I'm done with teaching. I've done it for 30 years. I got this. I know how to do it. I've impacted people's life. Now it's time for me to focus on some other stuff. Maybe I'm going to write a book. Maybe I'm going to travel. Maybe I'm going to go into tutoring, you know, all these different things. So I think retiring doesn't necessarily have to mean it
just
to everybody.
You're just sitting on your butt in a lounge
right.
or watching
the Oprah
show.
Right. It means it can be a new... I like to see when people retire, and I'm putting that in air quotes, but you can't see me doing that, when they're still young enough to start a new chapter and discover something new or a new passion. That's exciting.
Funny. Watch my aunt and uncle, and they retired and moved to closer to the beach here in the mid-Atlantic, and they have all new things going on in life. My aunt learned how to paint, and she's a member of these clubs, and my uncle plays golf 3-4 times a week, and all of his buddies, and it's like a whole new part of their life, and they're learning new things about themselves, and it's really fun to see.
Yeah. All right, so with that in mind, let's talk about men as they are and as they age. That'll be one of the things. We're going to spend some time this hour with a focus on men and how they relate to each other, how they relate to women, how husbands relate to wives. Mike Krestowski is the founder of the School for Men. We'll meet him in a minute here on Good Day.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Linda Kaplan Thaler and Robin Covell built a billion-dollar ad agency. You probably know their work. They created the Aflac Duck.
What's their secret to big success? They're nice. In their book, The Power of Nice, they define what nice really means.
Nice does not mean smiling blandly while others walk all over you. Nice is the toughest four-letter word you'll ever hear.
They go on to say that being very nice and placing other people's needs on the same level as your own will get you everything you want.
People work with and do business with people they trust.
But before anyone will trust you, they have to like you. And we like people who are nice.
So be nice. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
It's fast. It's furious. It's totally bonkers. So buckle up because Furious 7 is a hell of a ride. I'm in.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. Now playing in theaters.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. 5 proven methods today to totally discourage any female from ever wanting to experience the open road on her own bike. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second review starts now.
Ex Machina is a smart, cool, stylish, great-looking movie. Hashtag sexy robot. The main.
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. Now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. How to discourage your lady from ever wanting her own motorcycle. 1. Never buy a chick hot biker clothing. It'll only whet her thirst for the open road. 2. Ignore the cool machines you both see parked nearby. 3. Keep her away from communicating with other lady riders. 4. Never teach her the basics. And the final way to discourage your lady from ever wanting her own scoot. Never divulge the secret that chicks who run on 2 wheels instantly look incredibly hot.
Hot girls in.
P.S. None of this worked for me. American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road on 2 wheels.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Do you ever pretend you're someone you're really not? Well, researchers know at least 4 places where everyone puts on airs and tries to come across as better than we really are. Here's the science of it. Researchers have found that the following places prompt a change in our behavior for the better. For instance, at the front desk of a snazzy hotel everyone puts on airs, we take on the tone of the establishment. In the employment line, we try and pretend that we don't belong. In a new car showroom, we hold back, act as if we know what we're doing to get a great deal. Finally, in the principal's office, we're not responsible for any bad behavior. What's the cheap psychological trick? If these places bring out the best in you, then you're capable of behaving more responsibly other places, too. Has this ever happened to you? Drop me a line at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
16 after the hour, Doug Steffen's Good Day program. Richie and Kenny will pay note, but I want Molly and Jennifer also to take note of the conversation with Mike Rostowski, who is the founder of the School for Men. This is a fascinating, and I was saying this a few minutes ago, Mike, whether you were listening or not. We don't know each other too well yet, but we're getting to know each other. I found this is an experiment for me, frankly, and as I say, there's not much about what goes on in my life the audience doesn't find out about it in one way or another. And because I think the best way of encapsulating it is that I have issues. Richie is happy to say, yep, he's got issues.
Yep. Do you see how we remained quiet?
Yes, yeah, it was wonderful, Jennifer. Thank you.
No problem.
I do have issues, and I have been searching around for a way to learn about what it is that I can do to deal with my issues. And I discovered the School for Men. And I guess maybe the name even is what got me, Mike, as much as anything else. How did you come by the urge to create this? What was going on with you?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me, Doug. And second of all, thanks for admitting that you have issues, because I have issues too. and I think that's one of the biggest problems is especially for men, is that there's these societal myths that really kind of keep us playing small and sort of have us trapped in the man box. And you know, some of these myths are myths like real men don't ask for help, or big boys don't cry, or you know, it's like I'm not good enough for that. Just these little sort of insidious myths that you know, oftentimes keep a man from developing, you know, deeper connections with women or deeper connections with other men. My super, super short story is that I was working a corporate job in human resources. I was on the traditional path my entire life. You know, went to college, worked for 5 years, got my MBA, working this corporate HR job. And my mom passed away unexpectedly when I was 30, about 4 years ago. And that just totally just like woke me up to the realness of my life. And it was the first time that I really experienced death. And after that, just my life has never been the same. I left my corporate job 6 months later, sold everything that I owned, lived out of a suitcase for 2.5 years, and just traveled the world, and worked with some really amazing teachers, and started, you know, hosting meetups for entrepreneurs, and just my life just became really awesome in a short period of time. Hmm. But the big thing that I noticed was as I traveled, as I held, you know, happy hours and meetups for entrepreneurs and really got into the scene of like internet marketing, which is the space that I work in now. I heard a lot of the same things all the time from men. You know, things like, man, I just don't really, you know, have any real friends anymore. Or, you know, a man would tell me, you know, something that he was either ashamed of or sort of afraid to share. And he'd say, wow, I'd never share that to, you know, I've never told that to anyone before. And the more that I, you know, really got deep with men, the more that I realized that a lot of men are out there just kind of suffering in isolation. And it's really not because of their fault, but just these, you know, these societal norms,
I love that you're doing this, because one of my things in life is that we've done such a great job empowering women that we've forgotten how to raise boys now. I think what you're doing is a great way to help men find their place.
21 after, Mike Rostowski is here from the School for Men on Good Day.